Greg, let's get started. So, Sajib, you have to tell us what we need to discuss today.
Probably everything the same page as the last meeting. So, not really sure, actually. So,
what are the outstanding items? We are talking about the Usenix submission.
Yeah, in the Usenix submission, the outstanding items are... The most important outstanding items at this point is setting up the benchmarks and modeling the benchmarks with a diverse range of parameters and using those results for checking our SLA-based maximization algorithm.
That's okay.
The main outstanding item remaining.
Okay. And we also talked about some testing your stuff with some synthetic data sets. Is that...
Yeah. But for that, we can test in two different steps. First with the real results, another with the synthetic dataset results. So what we could do is that we could do the double scraping. Like first we get the results with the change in allocations and everything, the application performance metrics. Then we instrument our revenue functions or SLA functions to map from performance to revenue.
Okay.
And use that revenue versus allocation value as our synthetic data set.
Oh, you mean, the SLA curves need to be synthetic.
SLA curves need to be synthetic anyway.
Yeah. So do you have some sort of idea of how you're going to get these SLA curves? Or do you first need the performance and then you will...
Then I will change the SLA curve.
Then you will need to instantiate the SLA curve.
Instantiate the SLA curve. The SLA curves is that, we could employ different and simple SLA curves as well, like simple proportional SLA curve. Like as the performance increases, the SLA value, the profit increases. Or we could use different step SLA functions as well.
Yeah.
But that needs to satisfy some criteria, like your profit cannot decrease when you allocate more resources, and the vice versa as well. So those are the two criteria that need to be satisfied. And to test the algorithm itself, we need to test with just some synthetic data set, not some allocation value, just some synthetic data set, like to stress the points where we can break the optimality.
Okay.
Or the
how can it generate such a synthetic data set?
Just what we are discussing when we are figuring out the algorithm, what we are discussing, in this different scenario. Because we started with a simple algorithm, and then we figured out that at different scenario, the optimality may break, or we may not get the exact solution. So with those simple data set, we could test that if the algorithm is working or not.
Yeah, but you should have a way to generate processed way of generating the synthetic data set. You can generate it randomly, or you can follow some other process. But I'm asking you, what's exactly the thing, process you're trying to think of?
One way is to do it the random thing, random generation. That's another possibility. Another is to just test the different sub-portions of the algorithm with some specific data set that we come up on our own.
But the problem with the random generation is that some of the assumptions will break. Say, for example, if you generate random...
It's not completely random. Even when we are generating the random data set, the data set has to follow the criteria that I mentioned.
Right.
Like that if you increase the allocation, your profit may not... Profit cannot decrease.
Your performance cannot decrease,
as a consequence, your profit cannot decrease.
Revenue cannot decrease.
Or the revenue cannot decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. If you decrease the allocation, your performance cannot increase. And your revenue.
I don't see how you can generate such a data randomly. But the only way I can say it, you can assume some curve on the CPU as CPU allocation or memory allocation versus performance, CPU allocation versus performance, all the different performance parameters versus performance, and then from there you can generate the data. that is possible. But otherwise, it may happen that if you deploy that kind of rule only, it may happen that, say for example, when the particular application is running with 100 MB of memory, and you increase the 10 MB of memory, it increases the performance X. And when the application is running with the 200 MB of memory, and if you increase the memory of 10 MB, then application performance increases by 2X. Now, how do you determine whether it's X or 2X or what kind of increase that will happen?
I think that's where the randomness comes in. So, increase the performance or revenue by a random value, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, that's something we could do, but we could also go with what you are suggesting, which is use a curve that is monotonically increasing, so you don't have to pick randomly.
Actually, ideally speaking, having a curve is better than a random thing, than a random number generation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we need to assume a reasonable curve for each dimension of the parameter.
Mm.
No, what you already have the curve. What you can do is you have the data. So having fixed the memory IO. Suppose we have four parameters. Having fixed the three other parameters. If you increase the one of the parameters, then how the performance is increasing? You have this data from your previous experiment, and same for other things. So from there you can draw the, you can derive the curve, and from there you can derive your random. You can introduce some randomness of generating the data, and then you can run the experiment. That will give you some kind of a basis that on what basis you are having the randomness, or what basis you are saying that increase, what kind of increase will happen, that kind of thing.
So Kaushik, just to clarify, this random data set that we are talking about is just, we are not going to use that to show in our experiments. It's only for testing the implementation of the algorithm.
Will it be reported in the paper or not?
No, it won't be reported in the paper.
Oh, then I don't care. Okay. I was wondering about the paper reporting. Okay.
Maybe you should talk about what we want to report in the paper.
Okay, in the paper, I think these two graphs are really important.
Yeah, but what is the data set we want to use?
In the paper, we could use the same technique just to describe. I mean, just to show that, in the paper, we need to show that, let's say there are different virtual machines or three different virtual machines with different application performance metric curve. And as a consequence, different SLA curve, and you apply the dynamic resource allocation algorithm, and we'll show that how at each interval the allocations of different virtual machines changes, and also the how the global profit across all the virtual machine is also changing across time or across different level after each employment of the revenue maximization algorithm.
So
I did not get what you said. Can you explain me some other word?
Okay, so let's say you have three different virtual machines. You start with a random allocation of resources to the virtual machines, and then you apply the revenue maximization algorithm, assuming that you have the performance metric numbers for different under different allocations for different virtual machines. And you have different SLA curves because you have different dependence of application performance metrics on input parameters. So as a consequence, you have different SLA curves for different virtual machines. Now what we can do is that we employ our algorithm and we show that how the allocations of the virtual machine changes after applying the algorithm, and how that change is actually reflected in maximizing the or increasing the revenue for the data center. Because you start with a random allocation and you have the revenue for that instant, and after the algorithm, how that revenue changes. Does it decrease? Does it stay the same, or it's increasing monotonically or not?
Okay.
It will take a few iterations for it to reach optimal configuration.
Yeah. So what's happening is that in our algorithm, at each employment of the each run of the revenue maximization algorithm, we are not changing the resource allocation by drastically. So what we need to do is that we need to run the algorithm at several consolidation intervals. So, and we show that, okay, at each interval, we are actually increasing our revenue.
Or we stop.
Yeah.
We stop when the revenue does not change.
Exactly.
Yeah. So one concern is that of local maxima. There are local maxima, and then you're trying to, it's sort of hard to jump across that local maxima into another.
No, I don't think if you do the, what I would say, that if you assume those conditions, you won't have any local maxima or minima problem. Because there is no U-shaped curve involved. It's always increasing or decreasing at some function.
But it could also stay constant, right?
It could stay constant.
It could stay constant. If it stays constant, then you don't change the allocation. But it could stay constant and then go up after a while, which you will miss because you will stop because there is no change. So it's not a local maximum, but it's sort of a leveling off of performance in a certain range of resource allocation. So you're saying local maxima is not possible, right? Well, so can I not have a performance?
Because you're not, your graph cannot be like this.
This is, what is this curve about? This is about...
It's a resource allocation, you see, and it's revenue. So your graph cannot be like this. Because the local maximum happen if you stop here.
Okay, so you're saying that as you provide more resources, your performance cannot decrease.
No, and also as a consequence, your revenue cannot decrease.
Do I have leveling off and then increase and so on? I guess that can happen, right?
This can happen.
So do we get stuck because of the leveling off?
In that case, if you are, let's say this is in this range,
mm-hmm.
we are separated by, we have more than K delta
mm-hmm.
here. Mm-hmm. In that case, we will be stuck here. But I don't know if any reasonable SLA curve will look like that. That's the thing.
But performance curve can look like that, right?
Actually, I haven't found with my benchmark knowledge, it doesn't behave like that. You always get a certain increase at some point.
I see. Okay, well, we'll see. Okay, so the idea is that you start with some random allocation, and these are real benchmark virtual machines that you're going to experiment with, right? So
yeah.
Which ones did we identify?
We identified Ruby, TPCW, and memory microbenchmark we can use for one instrument and benchmark.
Ruby, TPCW, and memory microbenchmark. Okay.
One is Ruby.
Okay. So Rubis has this two different servers, right? One is a web server, the other is a database server.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can use either of them, or we can use both of them together.
I'm planning to do it both of them on the same virtual machine. Because modeling multi-tier application will be difficult.
But if we, I see what, because there is a dependency between these two. If we isolate them into two different VMs on the same host, does that? But that is creates a correlation between the resource consumption.
Yeah, we need to take in them holistically, the resource consumption by both the virtual machines.
I think it is better to, for Ruby, it is better to install that in the same virtual machine. In that way, you take that as a consolidated application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may not be. It It may get some question, but at this point, I think that's the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to admit in the paper that, okay, that's a kind of restriction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, Rubis,
TPCW,
and memory.
Memory.
So, have you started collecting data for these? I think that's one of the first things to be done, right? Performance data, performance and resource allocation.
I have some data for my memory microbenchmark.
I guess to create the model for each of these.
I have the model for memory microbenchmark, but
okay.
I need to have the model for TPCW and Rubis.
Okay. So so that's your next step then?
That's my next step.
Okay. What are the other things that we need to do for this paper?
I think the implementation of brute force.
Implementation of the brute force? Okay. So
have you implemented the algorithm yet or not yet?
Yeah, I have done that.
But you're not.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's working. I tried with some I come up with my own some data set and I used to check if it's working.
Okay.
So it's the final version of the algorithm that we submitted to the workshop?
Yeah, it's the final version of the algorithm.
I remember that we were talking about some other improvements, which I don't know if we added in the end to the workshop submission.
I think we did.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's good. So, okay, so the next thing is data collection then.
Next thing
for
is data collection and brute force implementation.
Brute force implementation. Okay, that's fine.
And how do you want to implement the brute force? Do you have an idea? Because you can't obviously do exhaustive search.
Yeah, I remember that I had a talk with Raju at some point about that.
Okay.
So I had
you have an idea, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I have an idea, but it's not confirmed yet because what I was having a problem is that I can have a exhaustive search on a single dimension, but the problem is that when you compare with multiple dimension, it becomes very, very hard.
Of course. If it is not hard, then what is the value of your algorithm?
Now, then the question is, how do I get the brute force implementation done?
I think that's,
yeah,
you need to start thinking how to do it. I think it's an interesting challenge, worthy of a PhD student.
Yeah. Only thing I can say is that it's not trivial.
It's not trivial, yeah, we realized that. We were discussing about it for some time in the previous week, and yeah, we did realize it's non-trivial. So I'm have full confidence in Sajeev to actually come up with the algorithm. So next time he's going to share the algorithm with us.
Hi Ming, are you there?
Give a little bit talk, and next meeting you can tell us what I can do on the brute force operator. Brute force or any other comparison. It need not be brute force. It can be some. You may find out that brute force is not possible, so you may might need to do some other way of comparison.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, get started with some ideas, and in the best case, you have the algorithm for us to discuss next week. But if not, we'll try and discuss it and try to finalize it during our meeting next week. But do give it a lot of thought.
Okay.
Okay. So, did you have a question for me?
No, I think I can send you an email.
There was something else about some software that was using.
That's why I need to ask Ruby, for the Ruby.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so did you solve the JDBC problem?
No, I will take a look. Don't worry, I will give a more. I just need some more time to do that.
Okay.
If not, I will get back to you.
Okay.
So I think it's that's for now.
That's it for now.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll meet next week, same time?
Yeah, but on Thursday I'll meet with you.
We'll meet on Thursday.
And I will report you on my, if I have any problem with the connections, I will talk to you.
Okay.
All right, that's it then. That was
great. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Okay. So we'll meet on Thursday. Let's see if I can do this. If I have the data and some part of the or some idea of the brute force implementation, I think we'll be fine. We can.
Yeah. I think this is something that you certainly will benefit from this exercise to come up with a brute force algorithm. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.